today we are going to have so much fun on this podcast because we have amazing guests and it's already been banana cakes with it. Please get up for a man you've seen on Showtime and on TMZ, featured on TMZ, Mr. Bruce Jingles, everybody.
Hello.
Bruce Jingles.
Hello. Yay. Hello.
Hey. Right in front of me, this gentleman's been on Tremors 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, I don't know. That's his joke. He's super hilarious, and I want to keep him really pinned up so that when he finally explodes, it's going to be crazy. Mr. Jamie Kennedy.
Yay! It's 5 and 6. Yay! 5 and 6.
Brother man.
What's up, baby? Right.
Well, what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy friends come on, and we ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth and one is a lie. And then Jessica and I will try to punch a little holes in your story, you know, by asking a lot of questions just so we can kind of figure out which one is a lie. And because we're asking people to come on and tell crazy stories and wild lies, that we want you to know that the beliefs, stories, and anything that goes down here on this podcast today is not a reflection on the Comedy Store, okay? I think we're good. Anything you would like to add, Jessica?
Did you want to share what happened to us in New York at all with the locksmith?
Oh, my God. The comedian who let us stay in his apartment said, don't ever throw the bottom lock. I've lived in this apartment 23 years. Only lock the top lock, right? So then I was with my son and Jessica, and I was taking my son to go see colleges and all that. My son threw whatever he was doing. The bottom lock gets thrown. We get there at like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and can't get into the apartment. So I Google best locksmith in Greenwich Village, New York City, right? One comes up. The guy shows up 10 minutes later. He's like, it's going to be $500 to get into the apartment, right? And I'm like, what do I do? No one in the city has the key to this bottom lock. I have no choice. I'm like, all right. So he's drilling like crazy, the big old drill into the lock. Anyway, cut to, as we get in all relieved, he's like, okay, I gotta put a new lock in it. That'll be $450 extra. And I was like, what? And so we get into this huge like kind of argument, and then I'm like, I'm arguing in my friend's apartment. And it was just banana cakes. The next morning, the company calls me up because I went and put a bad review all over a Better Business Bureau and all that. And a guy calls me up, and he's like, and it was a young guy, and he's like, that guy doesn't work for us anymore. Can we give you the money back? We'll come back and give you some of the money. I'm like, I don't want to see you guys, like, because it was kind of scary. Anyway, so it was really, really crazy. And I want to thank everybody that commented on my written story that I wrote about it, because you guys gave me such great advice. I got some of my money back.
I'm so happy I got up early
for that locksmith story.
I'm so happy I took an Uber here
to get here. You, Jessica,
and then the locksmith charged me money for installing
a
lock.
Fucking lashing from Jamie Kennedy because you made me tell that story.
Well, we live in Hollywood, so yeah. Some producer's going to pick that story up.
Okay, so it's two stories, and one has to be a lie, and one is the truth, and we'll let Bruce start first. All right.
What story? Let's see. I know I have a lot of stories. Here's one story. When my mother came into the strip joint I was at to get drunk. And she brought her friend, which was embarrassing. And then she's talking to all the strippers, and they're all gathered around her and telling host stories. It was very interesting.
Was your mom, was she in a stripper?
No, so she worked for the... Well, there was a strip joint by our pad. It wasn't a full-on, full-nude strip joint. It was a bikini bar.
Topless, though?
Yeah, topless.
Okay.
And... everybody, we all hung out, and my friends and I hung out there. She happened to be at the house with her friend, who's a raging drunk. And I call her Wigzilla, because you know, every time she gets really drunk, she takes off her wig, and it's really
amazing. No.
She got bald head, or?
She looked like Georgia Foreman.
Okay.
She's got, you know, the package of hot dogs in the back of the neck and all that.
Yeah. Like, really?
And she doesn't even have a neck. It's just she looks like Esther Roll, the mom from Good Times, actually. Yeah. And it was just amazing. I was playing pool, and my friend looked up, and my friend, who's the son of my mother's friend. So put it this way, my mother and her friend, her son and me. We're playing pool, and they come down like the ramp of the strip joint.
Okay.
Like they almost announced them. Like, coming to the stage, Bruce's mom. Hey, we need some greenery around this scenery. You know, it's just weird.
Did you invite your mom?
No, I didn't invite the bitch.
How did she know? Did she know you were there?
Yes.
So she was like, my son's at the strip joint. Why don't
Let's
we go?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 40.
No. When that happened, yeah.
27.
You were 27?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was very embarrassing.
Did but, they serve food at the strip joint?
Yes, they crab salads.
suspect that that's a salad.
Just put some lettuce on the hoo-ha, and yeah. then it's called a salad.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And so how long did they stay?
Oh, they stayed till the end.
Yeah? Well, yeah. To the, like, till everybody, the, till everybody, closing time?
Yes, everybody was buying them drinks.
Really?
They do a dance?
No, thank God, no, because then nobody had, somebody's hip would have got broke.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody would, they would have fucked somebody's lap up.
So did you go to your mom, like, to the side and be like, Mom, what are you doing here? What are you doing right?
Then she did, yeah, and she just looked at me and called me the N-word and said, no, nigga, and walked away. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Did you have a good relationship with your mother?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
I don't know.
What mother, I mean, you have to have a good relationship to want to go to the strip joint with your son.
But what time did the locksmith show up?
10:05. 10:05, he brought some chicken for my mom.
You don't understand, that was a riveting story.
It was not. It was a riveting moment
you bailed.
In my life.
You bailed mid-story. Let's be blunt. You're like, in the locksmith, it was crazy. What happened was, and no one's really like, and so he came and then he checked $400. And
yeah, I know. But well, because I looked bailed. At both of you guys, and you guys were like, what the hell is going
but
on
it's
with this
But it's believable
story?
And not believable. It's believable the amount of money it costs.
Yes,
because it's New
yeah,
York.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's not, what I don't understand is believable is why are you looking for colleges with your son?
Yeah. If he can't if he can't remember to not lock a door, he ain't going to college.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's what I was thinking too, as a matter of fact.
That's a school of hard locks.
There was more.
There was more? All right.
Well, yeah. He also left his bag on the plane. I don't know if he's ready for college.
He left his bag of what?
We gotta let him go.
No.
His bag of what?
Oh, wait, is it your son, too? What
no.
happened? I like this. Is
she
there
felt
something
like it,
that happened?
Well, we were all flying to New York, but then I had miraculously a big meeting out of nowhere, miraculously. Mm-hmm.
Wait, let's get, we got at the strip club. Hold on, yeah. What's the big meeting?
Yeah, they were smoking pot.
No, I had a business meeting that I had to go to, but I couldn't get, and it was one of those things where, you know, you can't get out of it.
None
it's
of our
a good
business.
Opportunity, yeah. And so then None Jessica had to go with my son early, like in the morning, so, and that's why she was in New York with my son. Wait, and he lost his bag.
You guys travel together been there, all the time?
No.
No, we're going to San Diego this weekend, though.
Was it work thing?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
No, you guys are work partners. You're not
yeah.
life
yeah.
partners.
Yeah.
No. Right.
I didn't know.
But I saw the picture.
Oh, well, the way you're talking, you're like, we got to let him go.
We got to let him go.
We talk about
it's time
Easter
to let
plans.
Baby go.
And I was like, whoa, when did this happen?
Nobody puts What's baby that? In the corner.
What part of town or where was this strip joint?
It was Spearmint Rhino.
Oh, and Spearmint Rhino?
Yes. 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 And it is corporate history. That the corporation knows about this story because I used to do their Christmas parties.
Uh-huh.
Or triple Xmas parties.
Uh-huh.
And in Upland, California, which is about 30 minutes outside of LA.
Okay.
Going 10 east. So it was in somewhat civilization, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And it was just.
But the way you said it, like it was just some little bikini bar. Now all of a sudden, it's Spearmint Rhino.
Well, it's just a bikini. You know,
that is a big difference.
Yeah.
Ooh.
How is that a difference?
See, you were all trying to make your fun little jokes, but I was listening to your story.
Because the strip clubs in Vegas, you have to wear real shoes.
Well, that's Vegas.
Why you gotta wear real shoes?
I don't know. They said I couldn't come in with open toe shoes.
They don't want to give no.
Maybe they didn't want to let me in.
Maybe they didn't want
your toes to touch that crunchy yet sticky carpet. Maybe that's what it was.
Athlete's cooter.
Yeah, athlete's cooter. All right.
Destinates.
Okay. And yeah, so no other questions. We'll move it right along. Now it's your turn.
Do I guess on his story?
We will. No.
We will at the end. Yes. Okay. So now it's your turn to tell a story.
So as Jessica was saying, I have an extensive film career.
Yes, you do.
She put me in all the Tremors. Is and that not going live? Because that might be a blessing. so Early in my career, I was known for a horror movie called Scream.
Yes. Yes.
That was you?
Yes. No, just kidding. And when we did Scream, it was like a little movie. You know, Wes is just coming off. You know, he's a legend, but he came off Vampire in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Friends was mid blowing up. You know, we got Courtney. And Nev was just starting to pop off of Party of Five. And the rest of us were kind of, everyone had credits, and I was the total unknown. Mm. So when we did this movie, we thought, this is a really, like, unique movie. It's a great script. You know, when you read a script, I don't know if you guys read a lot of scripts, but the better ones are the, like, you know, Jonathan grabs a coffee cup. He lightly caresses it. But it's like so much description.
Right,
you know
right.
It's going to be a terrible script. But Scream is just like interior kitchen, Sydney. And it was awesome dialogue. Mm-hmm. So we're like, this is unique. And when we were doing it, we thought if it was make like $20 million at the box office and we do good on DVD in the 90s, we'd be hit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when we did it, the movie became what it became. And it was like amazing. So they wrote the sequel. And there was plans in the sequel for me to have a bigger part.
Okay.
So I was killed in the sequel.
Uh-huh.
You know that. Uh-huh. And the sequel, when we were shooting it, there was we never knew who the killer was going to be. So each day we got
somebody different.
New pages.
Oh, really?
So the cast was literally, we were in a game of
Who done it?
Yes, and we never knew. We were like, I meet Courtney, like, you know, and she's like, nope. And I'd be like, Nev, I'm like, who's this? Like, I don't know. And like, you know, Dave, and he's like, bro, you know, like none of us knew. And so each day we would get new pages, new scenes. So there was a time, you know, because I had all the rules, right? And one of the rules was, you know, you can never, you know, never have sex. Sex equals death and all this stuff. And since I was a virgin, it'd be weird for me to get killed.
Yeah, because it would break the rule.
So, and I got killed. So there was a whole potential story of me
getting laid
at a strip club. No, there was a whole storyline of me being the killer.
Oh, really?
Because you were a virgin and you had it all pinned up inside?
Yeah.
Yes.
An incel.
Yeah.
An incel.
And I was, and so I was jealous of Sydney. I was 100%, I was not, I was in love with Sydney. I was jealous of Stu. I was jealous of Billy, Dewey. You know, everyone was in love and Randy got nothing. But yet he was the one navigating the whole thing. And then he had a, you know, he was the mastermind behind this whole thing, and it started with two lunatic kids, and then he took it to the next level, and then he was going to show the world what it's really like to manipulate a killing.
Oh,
wow!
That's a better, that's better than the actual outcome.
Ooh,
oh.
That's a big thing
to throw around. Yeah.
What?
No, that's just that it's better than the actual.
Oh, whoa, oh.
Yeah.
That's better than the actual movie you work
with. I don't know if I could say that, but I was talking about the strip club.
No,
I was,
no, no.
That's better than the locksmith.
No, it's better than the locksmith.
No, but
story.
Well, I was thinking, but I was like, well, then Wes is dead, God rest his soul, and Miramax is disbanded, so I guess you can say that.
Yeah,
I can. But yeah, so that's definitely, that was one of the things. And then it got nixed because people were just, they weren't.
I like how you're playing piano, by the way.
Yeah, they wouldn't. They wouldn't go with it.
They wouldn't believe that you were a virgin? Is that what you're
or
saying?
Or that you would have sex?
Or that you can be that meticulous, evil master, evil master plan.
I believe the audience would have. The studio believed that they wouldn't pick like that.
Mm.
Wow.
Okay.
You understand? We're talking about Hollywood people now.
Right.
We're talking about people that think they know what people want.
And they don't.
Come on now.
And they didn't want. They didn't think people wanted to see you get laid.
That's what America wants. That's what America wants, people. America wants to see Jamie Kennedy get laid.
In the mid-90s.
That's right.
Yes, they
Now you can see it. You can Google a picture of me right now. It's me and all the girls in the movie, by the way. And it's awesome.
What was it like?
It
back
was
in
Portia,
the day?
Uh-huh. Who's Ellen's wife now, yeah. Sarah Michelle, Elise Neal, Rebecca Gayhart, and Nev. It was like a dope, and me with a cigar. Oh, wow. I used to go out to dinner with them all, but I was literally like the gay best friend, but I'm not gay.
And Elise was the token black friend back, you know.
We like to call her an actress. She was awesome. And Dwayne Martin, no, there's a lot of black people in that movie.
Three.
You remember? Oh, yeah. God, he's keeping count. It's always a comfortable...
I should be wearing a bow tie.
Jesus God. A fucking studio didn't think that the general public wanted to see his character get laid. That's a big fucking admission. Let a brother have a breath over here.
Let a brother have a breath.
You know what I mean? Like he just confessed something pretty big.
Yes. Yes.
To live on Facebook.
There were no tokens. Yeah.
There were no tokens. It was just that's great. Right. The Metro Link. There are no tokens. Okay.
All right. Do you have any questions on that, Jessica?
Can you go into any details about any of your sexcapades of the 90s?
In real life?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious. I know that's not maybe the most polite thing to ask.
Polite? We're in the basement of the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
You think
we're sweltering.
Jesus Christ.
Like what was
we're
one
fucking
of the wildest...
swimming in the ghost of decadence.
Jessica's question is this. What kind of fucking did you do in the 90s?
What are you?
Jessica.
Yes, that's right.
What is that
wait,
about?
I'll tell you a story, but I won't name names, but wait. Yeah. What? Why does that have to do with the goddamn story?
I know.
Can you say goddamn?
Yeah. Because especially with this, you're saying that you were a virgin and that you would be having sex in the movie. I want to see if maybe they thought you wouldn't be able to pull that off. Nobody would have thought of you as a virgin.
Oh, it's kind meaning of a, it's like kind you, of a compliment.
She's giving me. Are you calling me a mini Leto?
Yeah.
Are you calling me mini Leto?
Mini Jared? Mary are you Jared. Saying? Are you saying I'm a Jared type?
Jared from Subway?
No.
Jared Leto.
30 Seconds to Mars.
Jesus.
Leto. She thought you said pedo.
No, pedo. Don't even go there. Listen, wait. So you're saying that you thought I would have been too sexy?
Yeah, yes, I mean back then. Said. That I mean now that you're not sexy now in your NASCAR look. But back then,
homeless Bradley Cooper. So go ahead. And I was just about to add you on Facebook. Go ahead. No caps on the table. This is a whole story before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
I remember back then, like you were huge. I loved Jamie Kennedy. I love you now. But I mean, you were just, and women swooned over you.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
You could just.
We're going to assume because you're so handsome.
Good save. Good save.
Will you add me on Facebook now?
Yes. Poke. Poke. All right, let's go back. I'll tell you this. Oh, fuck. It's hot. I'm not. I don't know what that has to do with the story.
Okay.
And I don't think what. And I love that you did it. And fans of the movies, because I could tell that you could probably go to a convention and you understand horror movies and stuff like that, you would like me more than what the studios would think would like me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you're a real person. You're a consumer of it. Do you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
They think they know, which I always get annoyed when I go in, and I don't give a fuck that we're going live right now. When executives try to tell me, you know, oh, this doesn't work or this doesn't work. It's like, really? I was just at the ha-ha.
And it worked.
I was just over here at the belly room at 1:30 and it got a laugh. And it's like, you know, that annoys me, right? So you have to assume the assumption is that you have to deal with executives that think they know what works. Do you agree with that?
Or the comic, yeah, the
absolutely.
Comedy club bookers.
I agree with that.
That tell us the same thing.
But
comedy club bookers know more what works than an executive because they're in them. They're in the heart of it.
They see
not necessarily. Depending on the club.
But more than likely.
More than likely. Yes.
But an executive going, I don't like that, and not being in the thick of it, not being on the set. Mm-hmm. So
may I ask a question?
I was going to answer it,
okay.
But go ahead.
My question is, so did you film any sex scenes for Scream 2?
Before I answer that.
Okay.
No, I didn't because.
Because you're saying that might have been one of the storylines and if they actually worked on those storylines.
Yeah, that was the storyline.
Okay.
It was a huge storyline.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, it did not happen.
Okay.
But there was five potential storylines.
Okay. All right, but tell us.
What I'm thinking about is not crazy, but I started getting leads in the '90s it was independent film was the bomb. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And now it's either $400 million movie or Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was just thinking because I have a love. I don't know if I can say this. A love with the Mondrian in this part of town because the Mondrian when it went up was like the hottest joint.
Mm-hmm.
And I was filming a movie, and we were filming in there, and I'm not going to name names or anything, but that was the first time that I...
Met Carmen Electra. Okay.
Carmen, no, she was on another scene.
No.
Like, during how did she know that? What's going on?
That's good.
How did... What?
That's good.
She was...
That's good.
I've worked with Carmen, but I'm not saying it was then or what, and this wasn't Carmen. When you have sex, and then there's you and two other people, that's what?
Threesome.
A threesome.
And if you have sex and there's three people there, what's that called?
A foursome.
Okay. A podcast.
That was the first time I may or may not have in the 90s experienced that.
Foursome?
Where I was like, you don't have enough penises. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got appendages. Yeah. Toes are starting to work, but at some point people are like,
yeah. And that's when that
breaks. Yeah, so it kind of breaks off, you know what I mean? And you know, so what, I'm not going to go into details, but the Mondrian was the first time your boy had three, and it was three of the opposite. There was another little eggplant emoji in there.
And the moral of this story is God should have made a spare penis.
Yes.
Wow.
So there, that's part of that other lie. And damn, it's hot.
That's a really good first story. I'm going to give it to you. That's
North Carolina.
One of my favorite first stories on the podcast
really?
So far. Yes,
that was
really
good.
Like that story. Yeah.
And who was calling you? Going? I want to make sure it's correct.
Yeah, you were way over analyzing it. You.
I want to make it good.
Yeah, it was awesome. All right, great. So we'll move on to Bruce's second story.
My second story. Yeah.
Am I allowed to touch my cup?
Yes,
you're
what? Podcast. At least it's like, Jamie, can you get your cup off the table? It looks disgusting.
Well, you had your earphones.
I have to tell a
locksmith
story.
You had all
story.
Pens.
Glasses,
you had everything.
Earbuds.
Glasses. You had everything on the table. All right, so go ahead.
Jessica, you being from North Carolina, you may have experienced this. You ever been to a ghetto funeral? And you've been known to hang out with the blacks.
Yeah, I have.
Once or twice.
Yes.
I've never been to a black funeral.
Okay.
Wait, have you ever been to a line? You know what that
dance?
Is.
Dance? Yes.
Line, yeah.
The line, though, in New Orleans is a whole.
No, I've never been
subculture.
To New Orleans.
Yeah.
Oh, my Jesus. All right.
It's like an inner circle of black.
It's like, awesome.
It's like black, the second
tier. Second
year.
Line. Second line is the best.
Oh, yeah. Like Tremé.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She Felicia looks lost.
No, I'm just, so what, so continue.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
So my friend Dale had passed away in a car accident. And we had to go to his funeral. His funeral was in San Bernardino. I don't know if you guys know what's up about San Bernardino. It's the ghetto. It's basically where everybody, where all ghettos everywhere else come together. And
yes.
Yeah, and then
Dale, the guy named Dale was
Dale
black.
Died. Yeah, he was black and he died.
Dale.
And Dale, yeah, I know, weird.
That's already suspect.
Another black guy named Dale.
Hey, Dale.
That's not a cover.
Hey,
name.
Dale.
And it was on the corner. Now this funeral home was on the same street it was on. It already had three liquor stores and two gun shops and one funeral. Funeral home.
Wow.
They had a barbecue pit in front of the funeral home.
Damn.
And then two fights broke out as we were walking into the funeral home. And then the pastor comes in and he has a dry deer and he's old. You know he was a crackhead. He had a dry
deer. The pastor was a crackhead?
Yeah. He had a dry jerry curl.
What?
Yes. Yes.
The pastor was a
crackhead.
Yes, he was.
He was
the cutest. Oh, my word.
The pastor smoked crack.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Oh, my God. The pastor? The pastor.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Please.
you say? Did you grow up in Encino? What the fuck?
George, did you hear the pastor smoke crack? Jesus. Oh, my word.
I'm going. Okay. You know Wall Street bankers smoke crack. You know that, right?
But the pastor.
The pastor. The pastor.
Go ahead.
And he was wearing an old suit. They were with high water pants and had elbow patches on the blazer.
The pastor.
Yeah, pastor, okay, who was smoking crack.
Okay.
And he started off, I'm going to have to use the N-word in this. Part of the story.
All right, yeah, okay.
Okay. And so he's just, and the whole funeral scene was all like thugs and cutthroats and just crazy. And he looks, and the pastor just looks down and he goes, yeah, there's some cutthroats in here. You know, let's talk about Brother Dale. And he goes and starts, and it's actually a good sermon. Mm-hmm. And he gets to the point of the sermon. He goes, let me just tell y'all, Brother Dale was somebody's nigga. Let God be your nigga. And what?
No.
And I just went, what? And I just started laughing. I swear to God. True story.
Are you serious?
That's true.
And what did everybody else, were they like, what the?
No, they were just,
Oh, really?
Pastor gave a good
time. Did you just see the Tyler Perry movie, the one with the funeral?
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
It's kind of like that. This?
No. Okay. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Wow. And how did Dale pass?
He had a car accident.
Yeah, I'm sorry. How long did you guys know each other?
Like 10 years.
10 years?
10 years.
Was he a comedian?
No. No, he's a family friend. He was a friend before I became a comic.
How many people were at that funeral?
About 80.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was in a smaller.
Right.
It was in a smaller.
I thought it was.
You can ask
big.
Questions too, Jamie, if you would like.
Dale's the dead guy, or Dale's the crack pastor?
Dale, crack pastor. On the next episode of Crack Pastor, Dale was the dead guy.
Okay.
Do you remember the crack pastor's name?
First name? Crack pastor.
Have you seen him since then?
No.
Wow.
I don't go to San Bernardino. I hate San Bernardino.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where it was?
Yes.
No, you said it was in the South.
No, he said San Bernardino.
He said, I might relate since I'm from the South, being at like a ghetto funeral.
Yes.
I don't know.
You're not a listener, Jamie.
You don't listen.
I do. I just listen
pastor,
to what I want.
The pastor. Smokes crack.
Yes. Now, I have my answer.
How did you know that pastor smoked crack? Was that just the rumor that went around?
When you have a dry Jerry curl and wearing high water
how
suit.
How can you have a dry Jerry curl? Yes. How?
Look at.
There's no juice left in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. he was looking a little crispy.
Yeah, remember McDowell's?
Yes.
Well, it is San Bernardino.
Yeah.
It gets fucking hot out there.
It gets hotter than honeymoon.
That oil just evaporates,
there,
I guess.
Yeah,
it does. How does it sound? Wait, where are you from?
I live in Upland.
Where are you from?
I'm from L.A.
Are you from San Bernardino?
Yeah.
Dude,
you
for
are
real?
From San
not, no, I'm no, I'm not.
I thought you were from the South.
No, right, not at all. I'm from L.A.
You're from L.A., that's a little weird.
I'm from L.A.
Huh.
Because I thought you were from the South. So now
grew up in South L.A., formerly South Central. Went to school in the Valley. We moved to El Monte when I was in 11th grade. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 9th grade.
Lie!
No.
Okay.
And then I was going to school in all Latin neighborhood. And
right.
It was
okay.
I bounced around a lot.
So what color suit was his suit? Do you remember?
Ashy. It was black. It was black.
It was black?
Yeah, but you know that faded black?
Right, yeah, okay. All right. Any questions?
See, I was
Jessica?
Thinking brown because he said it had the elbow patches.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. Oh, I see you, Jessica. Yeah, because you don't normally when
not
you
on
have
a black suit.
Yeah, on a black suit, an elbow thing.
No.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why do you say he was crack? Just because he didn't look like up on the fashions by like a couple of decades?
I know
like
the symptoms of crackheads.
Uh-huh.
I've had crackheads in my family.
Uh-huh. What's the number one symptom?
Ashiness.
My mom
very...
was a crackhead. She wasn't ashy, but see.
Okay, white people, you guys get caught dry skin. I mean, it's different. You're from the South. It's also very,
very
muggy
humid,
there, too.
Yeah.
What's the difference between ashy and dry?
Ashy is same when you're thing. Black, ashy just looks gray. Just bad.
It's the same
you ever
thing.
See
it's
the movie?
Dry
you ever
skin.
See Yeah, you ever see the Omega just... Man with Charlton Heston?
Back in the day.
Yeah, the Night Walkers, they were all pale. Yeah. In it. Yeah. That's ashy. That's when ashy.
No, I know,
like.
But it's just dry skin, but I don't know. Yeah. It's the same question I have. How come when a black lady wears a wig, it's a weave, and a white girl, it's extensions? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right there.
It's the same thing.
But I do think they put it in the hair
extensions.
Differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, but it's just an add-on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's
you
an extension.
You can't touch a black woman's weave, mm-mm. but you can rip a bitch's extension.
Yeah, you sure can.
Not wow. me, but yeah. not me. Other girls. Other girls.
You
say,
ain't
I'll
never
rip
lied.
Your extensions.
If you were at the
you
church,
heard that.
You were at
I
the
bet
church.
There was a lot of extensions in that foursome.
Ooh. Oh.
You know. Callback. But it was when those little pigtail thingies,
uh-huh.
those mini ones.
Oh, yeah.
It was before
the colors?
No, that was early aughts.
Okay.
Wow.
Do you remember the 90s when they had like, it was right when the feather started.
Oh.
Yeah. You know I know what you're talking about.
Wait, do you know this one? This could be my third story.
Yeah, let's move to the
thing. Night John Belushi died.
Is this your second story?
No, this is just an add-on because I'm saying this.
Okay.
the third time I met him.
He was in a chateau with Robin Williams and Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
And Robin Williams came from doing a set here.
Yeah.
Really?
And they were all bumping out.
Yep.
That's the story now. Whether
with De Niro?
And Kathy Evelyn Smith.
Where did you hear that?
That's all been known.
Internet.
On the internet, okay.
That's the lore. That's the lore, which basically, I mean, you tell me, but the 80s.
And De Niro and
Cappuccino
Robin
was Coke.
Love.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest actors I know today that are older, like, dude, you were, believe it or not, I never did Coke. I never did it. I had an order.
I do not believe you. That
I've never done
lie.
Coke.
That is
not.
A lie.
100%.
Never.
You could add this as your fourth one. Never done Coke. And my brother was like, yeah, you don't need to do it. Like he was kind of like the drug, whatever.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, here's why he's going to. In the 80s, though, every actor I work with that are legends, a lot of them told me that was the best time.
For Coke.
Well, it's just like you go to a meeting and be like, what's up, dude? All right, so let's talk about the script. And then, okay, yeah, we're going to cast this first. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't vilified.
Yeah.
Right. Like a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it was a cappuccino.
It was.
Yeah.
And by the way, I know a lot of people I've seen in this business, my voice is getting very high, who do Coke. And they're very successful. It's like, and you know where I saw this? In Europe. So it's like, it's kind of funny. I've seen this stuff. That's a whole other podcast.
You got to remember that Coca-Cola Coke.
Yes!
Had cocaine in it.
There's another, which is a six great amazing stories that you have to figure out which is true and which is it. We can go down. We're giving
all right,
bonuses.
Well, let's
I'll give you my second
story.
But
second
that's
story.
Early, same time around Scream 2, a little before, I read for a movie, got a part, and it was called Old Friends, and the movie starred Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
The movie had seen Sean Penn for the other co-lead, and multiple actors, and then the movie ended up having Greg Kinnear. And it was about Jack Nicholson, Helen Hunt, and Greg Kinnear in New York. The movie eventually became
something
as good as it gets.
Okay.
It won Best Picture, I think, that year, which people don't realize, and Jack Nicholson won his third Best Actor trophy. I was one of the gay hoodlums. Is that the word? Can I use the word hoodlum?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I was one of the and when I read for the part, I read for James L. Brooks. And I went in on the Sony lot, and it was an awesome process. And he's like, yeah, try it this way. Try it that way. Yeah, yeah. And then I did it. And so then I go, my agent calls me and is like, boom, you got the part. So I'd gone like from zero, nothing in Hollywood, like, you know, trying to get spots and whatever, to Ellen DeGeneres, gave me one of my first breaks on her show.
Can you introduce me to Ellen?
On which?
You and her would be besties.
On which show?
When no, Ellen on, had a.
No, the show that she came out.
No, on her sitcom.
On the sitcom
yeah,
that she came out. Okay.
Before the puppy episode.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yeah, it was bad. So I got on that, and then from that, got something else, and I got Romeo and Juliet, Scream, and I started getting boom. And like for 9 months, I was just busy, from zero to hero, right? But I've been struggling. Any Hoosiers, get this role, go to New York. They're like, you're booked for 4 months on the movie. Staying in New York, living the dream. First day I go to set, I had four scenes with Jack Nicholson. Three, I think, three-ish, me and the other hustler. And I go to the set, and James L. Brooks goes, "Hey, yeah, hey, bro, how are you?" He goes, "Yeah, I got to tell you something." And when we did rehearsal, he goes, "Yeah, I hired you for this role, but I think you're better for the other role. So I just want to tell you that." And the other role was smaller. And he said, "But you know what? I love you. I want you to do it. If you want to call your agent, go ahead. And, you know, take
what
a minute.
What kind of mind fuck is that?
Take a moment. And, you know, we're getting ready for the shot." And then I had to decide.
And what?
Just blessed you with two of your best stories.
But you didn't want me to prepare.
What did you decide?
Well.
You didn't do it?
Well, I'm in the movie.
Uh-huh.
But we don't know if that was the smaller role or the bigger role.
Exactly. And that movie was the role, the parts, the movie started as old friends, had multiple actors in it. I don't care if you Google it right now, and multiple storylines. And it was cut and changed. And if you know James L. Brooks, you know, he's a genius, but his movies shoots a lot, and then he has the movies he wanted to make, but sometimes they change in editing, reshoots, and stuff like that. So we had a lot going on in the movie. He, you know, broadcast news and taxing.
Right.
So he makes things amazing. And then, you know, look at the movie won Best Picture.
Yeah.
So, but there was a lot of machinations. And if I want to add an addendum to that, I had gotten another role in a movie at that time called Boogie Nights, and I had to turn it down to do that.
Dirt
so there's Diggler. Like 16 stories in there that you can have, and you can keep them all and figure
you
out.
Been
you were almost Dirk Diggler.
Yeah, what part did you have that you turned down?
It was one of the
Diggler.
The guys that has sex.
Diggler.
Thank you for making that clear.
Yeah. In the with Heather Graham scene.
And how many times did you have to audition for the Jack Nicholson movie? Was it just one audition, or did you have to go back a couple of times?
Twice.
Yeah.
Once for the casting, once for James L.
Uh-huh. What is, during that period, because you said you had a bunch of fame, a bunch of good things happened, like in a year period, a 9-month, 10-month period where you got cast a lot?
Yeah, what about it?
What was the one you were the most nervous about performing in?
Do you get nervous?
But answer my question first.
And I can ask questions too.
Yes, of course.
I think Jack Nicholson.
Uh-huh.
Because it was such a, you know, but iconic. But they all were, but you get better as you do it, but I think that one, just because I did not want to F up. Do I get nervous? Yeah, even this weekend when I was hosting this comedy show for TV, I was like I told you, I did 50% of my jokes hit, 50 didn't. I'm like, I don't want to look bad, the ones they don't use. So yeah, even that, and I, you know, it does happen. I mean, I guess that's what makes us good, right? We always care.
Right.
So yes, I do. But not terribly, but go ahead.
But you have to care.
You care. Jerry Lewis, man. God rest his soul. He says, if you're not nervous, you're not caring.
Yeah.
Right?
May I ask another question?
Go for it.
Since you've been...
Not nervous, but just a concern.
Since you've been in Jack Nicholson's presence, is there anything else that you could tell people that you're like, oh, Jack Nicholson is this, like short or tall, or he smelled nice, or is there something where you were surprised when you met Jack Nicholson, like, oh, that's a trip, anything like that?
Did he smell like Roman Polanski?
I know.
I didn't have any expectations, and all I can say is that he was as cool as anything I would have thought. It wasn't like we had a big, I've met a lot of people, and the best ones never disappoint.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah.
It's all the underlings and stuff, but the Mount Rushmores,
yeah,
never disappoint. And he's, you know.
He's Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. So it's like he was very cool. It wasn't like we were like having a tea party, but he was definitely
inclusive.
There's
got to
be a
cool.
few assholes that have made it, though.
Not on Mount Rushmore.
Really?
I mean, I'm sure, but it depends on what an asshole is. Like, I'll forgive a lot. And I will let people do a lot of shit to me because I experienced it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And somebody was like, that person is rude to me. And it's like, well, you do understand what they're dealing with?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the yeah, at the time.
Massive fame, you know? I'm not going to name names, but there was somebody that I always took the wrong way. And then I ended up doing exactly what that person did to me to someone else. And I'm like, now I get it. You know, punch me in the face.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's like the demands on those people.
It's,
right.
It's like, when did you ask
haven't,
them?
You haven't breathed that air. When people talk shit about Kanye, I want to smash their face. They have no idea the air that guy breathes.
Yeah.
It's rare. It is. It's worldwide, man, and he's got a lot of thoughts. And if you like his music, you got to breathe that air, man.
I actually saw him about 3 weeks ago.
What?
Stop dropping names! And I gave you 16 stories. Wait, finish that. You didn't lead with that story?
No, I know. Yeah. Instead, I did the last story. This just in.
Felicia sees Kanye.
No, wait, tell us quick.
I was at Gelson's. Gelson's on Riverside and Laurel Canyon, mm-hmm. and it was like right before closing time, but like 3 minutes before closing time, I had to run in there, get something stupid. And there was a guy in a hoodie. There was two guys. One guy was in a hoodie, and he had that, because they make that pizza at Gelson's, right? That grocery store pizza, right? That Wolfgang Puck pizza.
You mean it?
And
He had a sad piece of
Gelson's pizza, and I was like, there you go. He can't even go to a regular fucking pizza joint with all the beautiful people and get a slice of pizza. He's got to sneak in here to Gelson's and get a slice.
But it's true.
No, he probably likes that pizza.
But it's true. But it's true. It's that level of fame. It's true. He has to sneak in.
I think so.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
It's like I went with Jay Moore took me to a Laker game. And I'm a big Laker fan, and we got to sit right next to Jeannie Buss.
Yeah,
and
who is Jeannie Buss?
She owns the Lakers.
She owns the Lakers organization.
The sweetest person.
Yes, she is.
Love
she's,
you, Jeannie.
Dude. She's a sweetheart.
Say that to the camera. Love
hi,
you.
Jeannie. Love you. Okay. Hi, honey.
Go ahead.
She was just a sweetheart.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it was just and when you sit when you grow up a fan uh-huh. of it, and you sit in those seats. It's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, you know, like when you're used to sitting at the top tier of the Staples Center, uh-huh. but now you're sitting next to the fucking owner.
Yeah.
It's unreal. So you can't be the owner of the Lakers in LA and then want to go to 7-Eleven. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't know who it is.
She could go to any grocery store and most people would be like, whatever. Yeah. And I'm sure
not,
it's
not last week.
Last week there was a lot. But that's got a little locksmith to it.
Yeah.
That story.
Yeah.
That's got a little
Thank you.
You
take
set
that,
us
Bruce.
Up big, bro. I mean,
but
I love Jeannie, but I think she could walk into Chipotle. You know what I mean? Not Kanye. I love you, Jeannie. But she can go in to Baja Fresh.
She can walk in.
She can go to Pinche's right here.
True.
You know.
True.
But God damn it,
but does she have a hood pass?
I would think for real.
Yeah, you would think.
Hold on. I'm
you
hold on. I'm at the cookout, right?
Yeah. You at the
I got potatoes.
It's at your house.
Okay, all right. But Jeannie's definitely at the cookout, right?
Yeah, yes, you gotta be at the cookout.
Rap's at the cookout?
Yes.
Jay right. Moore's at the cookout?
Oh God, yes.
Bieber's at the cookout.
No.
Bieber?
I thought he was at the cookout.
No, he ain't.
Wow. All right.
Well, this is a cookout.
This is a harsh group. So anyway, so we have four stories, and Bruce's Bruce's stories. His first one was about being at a strip club playing pool, and his mother's friend with the crazy weave
showed up,
and they became fast friends with the bartender. Everyone bought them drinks.
And giving hoe advice? Yes. Giving all the stripper advice.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome. So that's his first story. And his second story, refresh my memory real
ghetto
quick.
Ghetto funeral.
That's right, with the crack pastor.
Yes. Crack pastor.
Crack pastor.
it's a new B-52 song. Crack pastor. Ooh, crack pastor.
And because your friend was unfortunately in a car accident. And what was the crux of that story? Just going to that funeral?
Let God be your nigga.
Okay, that's right. I had to ask. Okay.
That's the story. Jesus.
No, okay. Okay. And then Jamie's first story was about doing the sequel to Scream, and that they had many, everyone didn't know how the movie was going to end as they, or go along as they were shooting. There were different storylines, and one of his storylines was that he was going to be have the, sex the with every, he was going to be the killer and have sex with everybody. Was that?
He was going to have sex to become.
No, I was going to be the killer.
And he didn't
have sex.
In order
to be the killer.
Right.
I, how could I be the killer if I was a virgin, so I would have had to have sex?
Right. Okay. So that's a story. So what do you think, Jessica? Let's start with Bruce.
Wait, but hold on.
Here,
you
yes?
should answer some of these in the next episode, because these are good cliffhangers. You should let your audience get involved.
And then goodbye.
We usually have comments, but I'm sorry. It's not coming up.
We don't have our on-air producer today. So what do you think about Bruce's stories? What are your thoughts about that?
I think that the second story is a lie, merely because of the suit. That throws me
that
off.
Ashen suit?
Yeah, he said that they had the patches on the elbows, and then he said it was a black suit. That does not add up to me. It needed to be a brown suit.
But did I say the patches were black?
No, you didn't say what color. What color would they have been?
They were sandy.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Stop. I can't.
Yeah, what do you think? Which story do you think was the lie out of his two stories? The one about his mom coming to
I
the
mean,
strip
they were both a little vague. Let's be real, bro. Yeah. My mom at the strip club, she came down. And then, you know, and then my pastor's suit. Why did he add the patches? I think the second one, I hate to say this because I don't want to make a choice because they're both a little vague. I think the second was a lie because he started with a lie. He said that, I think he made a mistake when he said the lie. But he also said patches on the elbow.
That's
why did you say
me.
That?
That's what gets me.
And then you said ashen and the color was weird. Then I thought you're from the South and you're from South Central, but you're not. You're from Upland. Then you said
in Upland.
You said things that were Southern, but then it was like, but then it could be San Bernardino. So I don't know. I just think the second one, the first one is more plausible to me because
he didn't give as much detail.
No, it was fun too. It's like, and I did different things in my life when I've seen people go to strip clubs, and I don't think it's weird that his mom would show up.
Right, and he didn't talk about like what his mom was wearing when she came to the
strip
club.
Yeah, but let's just say the first story about the strip club, he was like, oh, it's a little bikini bar. And then all of a sudden, a second later,
Spearmint Rhino.
Yeah. I'm going to say.
Oh, he did do that?
Yeah.
But I don't know. The patches were like that too.
The patches were like an extra detail that he was trying to think add in there to paint the picture. Yeah.
What do you guys think out there?
Well, I also here's the thing. It's like a black suit could have patches on it. I mean, I'm not saying
why talk about the patches?
The patches.
Yeah, because maybe it's so odd that a black suit had patches on. That's why it was burned into his memory.
And he was flooding.
Yeah. Black suit with sandy patches.
And Jamie's right about the first story being super vague, because then all of a sudden at the end of it, you were like, and then they were my mom was giving out hoe advice. You didn't say that in the beginning of the story. You didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, I did.
He did.
You said your mom was
giving
hoe advice?
He said they came around. They were all around talking to her.
Oh,
I feel like
they were
a loser
buying
if I don't
drinks.
Get this, but it's vague, bro.
All right, I'm going to say the first story is the lie.
Whoa, okay.
And they're saying the second story is a lie.
What do you say?
I say the second story is a lie. The crack pastor is a lie.
I think the second story is a lie just because when she asked you a question, your eyes darted weird.
So you're saying the second story is a lie?
I think the first one's weird too, but I'm just going to go with the second. Yeah. That's the biggest of the lie. I think all the first one's some kind of weird too.
What is it?
The second one's a lie.
Yeah! And you said I didn't listen. You said I didn't listen. Apology. And his eyes darted, ashen, patching, because I did the Jamie Kennedy experiment. And we had a girl who was a stripper, and her mom came and was okay with it.
Yeah.
So I.
All right.
Because if they're not, if they show up, they're not going to be.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
All right. Wow. All right. Okay. Now we're moving on to Jamie's story. His first story about Scream, and.
You should have three though. Do you want me to set it up for you?
No.
We should have three. What are you talking about?
We can barely
the
get.
The first
through.
One is about Scream, and was there a storyline written for me to be the killer?
Right.
The second story is, was I recast in As Good As It Gets, formerly known as Old Friends, on the spot with the bit with the smaller role? And the added addendum to that,
yes,
part 2A is, did I lose a part in Boogie Nights to do that movie? So you got three.
Oh.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And these are pretty good because they're Hollywood and they're weaved into our shit. I mean, I like strip club too, but I'm just saying, we mix it up. Right?
Yeah, you get Hollywood.
Wow, strong.
Sorry.
So what do you think, Jessica?
Take your
this
time.
This was really tough. Scream 2.
I think you're like a horror nerd, aren't you?
I like horror movies.
She watches a lot of movies.
But you're not, don't take this the wrong way, America. You're not a gore whore.
I don't like gore.
But you know what the gore whores are? Don't take that the wrong way, America.
I love how politically correct.
Well, I'm paranoid, bro.
I am too.
I want to be, but people don't know. Gore are the girls that get all bloody and go to
the conventions. Oh, no. I don't think gore is scary, though.
Yeah.
I think like Silence of the Lambs is way more scary than Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exorcist. Yeah.
That's way better.
Halloween.
My first movie.
Oof.
Really?
I was three.
Wow, mine was The Godfather, and my mom almost away from my mom.
Hold on, wait a minute.
What?
You almost got taken away from your mom?
Yeah, my mom took me to go see The Godfather movie in a movie theater, right? And
how old were you?
I was about six or seven, and you know what freaked me out? The horse's head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
And still to this day, pull back the whole covers. To look in the bed because
you got PTSD.
Well,
that was 1 to 5. Ages 1 to 5 is when you formulate, so that's fucked up.
That's why I'm fucked up because I saw The Exorcist at 3, and then you remember in the early 70s, you could go to a walk-in and leave your kid. She left. I was left there by myself at the scene where she turned her head.
Did you freak out?
Fucked me up.
Did you scream?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
And you both became comedians.
Yeah. Second movie.
I saw
movie.
Nightmare on Elm Street at 3, and I don't think that's what fucked me up.
I don't remember anything before 9. What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Second movie,
how do you remember
Saddles.
At 3. At 2, I remember doing my taxes.
I still remember things at 3. Who the fuck?
You never, hey, brother.
I had a small apartment when I was 1 and a half.
If you're 3 and you see a chick spitting up green shit and turning her head.
Block it out.
I tried to.
All right. That being said, I think your first story is a lie. And I think the first story is a lie. The second story, I think, is true. But I do think the Boogie Nights part of that second story is the lie. There you go. I said it. Your turn,
Jessica.
Yeah.
That is getting into it. Now, let me ask you. You said that was your first foursome. Were there foursomes after that?
It's not part of the story. It wasn't even really a total foursome because I couldn't finish it all. But no, at that point, it's too many bodies. You need an extra.
So here's my question, and it's a practical question about foursomes, Jamie Kennedy. When you're with 3, I'm assuming, very stunning and beautiful women, because you're
sexy.
You are.
Oh, no, it was like there was a cut. Thank you for calling me that.
You're welcome.
There was, you know, it went like 8, 6. 5.5. I ain't mad at it. By the way, I'm not saying I'm, you know, perfect.
Oh, that was the story.
Yeah,
okay.
But I was fine with them all.
Yeah.
It was great.
But no, my question is, when you're
wasn't
in
all
the
like
middle
dime,
of
dime,
a foursome.
I'm not saying I'm a dime.
I like
the question is this. When you're in the middle of a foursome and you're just going at it, do you worry about your body parts at all? I'm not even talking about your penis. Like, oh, I better suck my get in. Oh, I better strike a pose like this. Oh, it looks sexy. Or do you just so in it you can't even think?
No, because I'm not gay. Is that bad to say? Who's
very nicely
is that
said.
Bad, Mary? I mean, what blame guy
it on the game?
What guy is like this? I hope I don't look fat as I'm. Having
because women think that way sometimes when I'm having sex. I'm, like,
I'm not a woman. I'm a dude.
You guys are saying that never since you've been having sex, never once have you thought to yourself,
I'm too busy. I'm too focused. Fucking.
I could lose some weight or I could, you know, I should, you know.
That's you ain't got fuck focus.
You know, maybe we should put them in more awkward positions. Like, we should start putting their legs behind their heads.
By the way, I'm not looking at your body either. I'm looking in your eyes.
Oh.
No. I'm deep
with
in it.
Three women? With 3 women?
I mean, no, that's another thing. God, this podcast is all over the place. We're fucking banned.
We're
I don't
co-sign like
any of this. We're sweating like right. No, it's that You'll tell me when I'm lying. A dude is attracted to a woman because, look, I'm dead serious. It's the fucking energy. For me, it's the willing, sexy, fucking hot energy.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that, right? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Dude is like, but come she's on, got a great real. Skirt.
Three chicks.
Back me up, bro.
Gay dude.
Back me up, bro.
That's a gay dude.
This is what's getting confused with females in 2019. A dude is a dude, and he's like, yo.
Of course.
You know what I like? I like a woman that's a little heavy that wears heels.
I'm right here, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's confidence. Because basically, you know what I mean? Those things could break, and she's basically saying,
yeah I don't give a fuck.
Hot.
That I don't give a fuck about
Paula. Yeah, and if she don't give a fuck there, she ain't going to give a fuck. Anyway. It's going to get messy.
That's right.
If you want a guy that's like, do you mind if I put the tip of my penis in? No disrespect, but that ain't.
That's right. That's okay. Right. You all know right. He ain't messing when he break out the Wesson. That's what I'm
saying. See, no, you guys don't think that this was helpful. I think this was very helpful.
In what
because
way?
Now I think that the second story is definitely true because the fact that he missed out on being in Boogie Nights, I think would have eaten at him. Because he's like, fuck, think about all the women I could have had if I was in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is my thought.
So,
it's
you,
hard,
so what are you
to,
saying? You're saying the first story is?
Is a lie. I think the first story is a lie.
Uh-huh. All right.
I think the first story is a lie.
I do too. And what about the addendum, the third story, the tag on to the, where,
the Boogie
the
Nights,
Boogie
thing?
Nights part of
I think
it.
That's true because I think that would have really stayed with him. Because, you know, I did the Clint Eastwood movie, but I can't get over how I didn't get that other movie. You know what I mean?
You did a Clint Eastwood movie?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she did The Mule.
Oh, really?
Played one of the dykes on bikes.
You know? Oh, that's awesome.
It was fun.
Can't say that word, bike.
It's or the animal.
Jesus Christ.
All right, so what about you, Bruce? What do you think?
I've got to go with you. You
seems
said
like
the second
on
one,
the
right?
Same
I said the first, yeah. Basically, I said the first story is a lot.
You said the first
we
story.
We are pretty much on the same page, but you don't think the Boogie Nights thing is true.
I think the second story is the truth about James Brooks. Because I could see as a director, you want to maybe kind of mess with you guys a little bit so that you're more off of your game, which makes you more on your game. Do you think he did it for that reason, or he just really thought you'd be better in the smaller part?
You've got your questions now. You can't answer anymore. You got to answer.
All right, so we're sticking with it. All three of us think the first story is a lie, and that the...
I think...
Right, Bruce?
Second.
You think the second story is a lie?
You can't speak. See, this is why we have problems, because you're speaking for him.
Well,
he's a black man. He has
I
his own opinion.
Just, I think he just... I think he just changed it. I thought...
That's right, America.
You must have just changed your mind then, because we think the opposite.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you think that the first one is?
So let's go. You think what?
That the first story is a lie.
You think Scream's a lie and the second's true.
Yeah.
And Boogie Nights is a lie.
And the Boogie Nights is a lie.
You think
the first story is a lie.
Scream's a lie.
Second story's true, and so is the Boogie Nights.
Okay.
It's true.
Second one's a lie.
Okay. All right. And the first one. Okay. So what is it about the Boogie Nights thing you said?
I think that would've ate at you. Like I missed the chance to be in Boogie Nights.
And what does that have to do with the story?
And I could get laid
all
more.
All the potential pussy.
Well, that's if you. But that's you can't get. You can't get.
All the girls
women,
will think I had like.
If you're in As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson, you can't get right. I mean, you can't get moved if you do a guest spot on Lucifer. I just did it. You can't get.
Right, but maybe it's
no.
That's weird logic, but I understand because I guess that's
all right.
A
so what
movie.
Is which one is a lie?
Well, wait. What movie did you lose?
It was this movie in Sacramento, like a basketball movie thing.
Sounds amazing. When you said that, I thought it was like Titanic 2.
No.
But
it still ate at me.
I'm sorry you're lost. Yes, I agree.
So what is a lie?
Scream is a lie.
Yes!
So what? There's layers to it.
Okay, so I'm right. Yeah, she's right.
Well, I'll tell
you. So initially, we're all right.
No, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
I'm wrong.
Jesus.
All right. I got to be wrong, man.
You're wrong. Is that you are a lie. No, you're the truth because they did. That I wasn't even supposed to be in the sequel. I don't even know if there was supposed to be a sequel. I got added in because the character people really liked. And then I got killed. And when I found out I was going to get killed, I'm like, fuck, how did I get killed? I'm a fucking virgin. How am I doing that? And that's one of the things that eats at me because I don't remember having sex. Do you understand what I mean? So I think it was weird that I was killed, and a lot of people do that. And so I was thinking of that could be the scenario, and that was
now,
not
about,
a bad plot, right?
Yeah, what about Boogie Nights?
Was that true?
Boogie Nights, 100% true. The scheduling.
Okay. Wow, you got that one.
The
all
scheduling
the way right.
went up, so I had 4 months on a movie or 2 days on Boogie Nights, and the Boogie Nights was a meaty part. It was the Heather Graham and Burt Reynolds. And the guy who got it was in my acting class. And it was Paul Thomas Anderson. He was really nice to me, and I got it, and it would have been cool. I mean, listen, it hurt at me. I knew 3 people in that movie, but I still was going to be in a Jack Nicholson movie, which that part did get cut down.
Oh.
And it got cut down, and that happens. And it's, I always tell like when how your actors complain and all this stuff. It's like, you got no rights, motherfuckers. You got to be able to go with shit. And the first day of that movie, I had a bigger part, and he said, this is what it is. And he said, call your agent. I go, no need to call my agent. Let's go. I don't give a fuck if I had a half a line.
Yeah.
I'm on a set with Jack Nicholson. You fucking point me where to suck.
Yeah.
And I'll suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Give me a break.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that is, that happened. That shit. And a lot more shit like that happens all the time. And it's part of our business. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you said that because nobody thinks that way anymore.
They're crazy.
Everybody's
entitled. They're crazy.
Everybody's fucking entitled.
Yeah, and their entitlement is going to put them at Chipotle. Not even. Seriously, bro. You're lucky to be there. No one owes you shit. Mm. I've had people my whole life telling me, you know, when I started doing comedy, I would bomb and I would do like one killer joke and they'd be like, man, you got something here. I always felt, and I would watch people go ahead of me. And it was like, when's my break going to happen? Guess what? No one owes you shit.
No.
How many talented people you know that don't have shit?
That's true.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? No one owes you fucking shit. How many people are hard workers that are doing great that you might not go, it's not as funny as that person on the street corner. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right, but they're out there doing it.
But they're out there working their ass off.
Yeah. No one owes you shit.
On that note, thank you guys for doing our podcast. And
I want to just say that anything that was said by proxy, I don't co-sign anything. I'm dead serious.
That's the second time by proxy.
Well, because that was what you brought up. I'm like, no, man, we're all good. No one.
Okay.
No, I had a blast.
Good. Thank you, guys. And where can people find you, Bruce?
At the strip joint with the crack pastor. You can find me on Instagram at Bruce Jingles, BRUCEJINGLES. You can follow me on Facebook and then that way, or go to my website and you find out where I'm at if I'm in your area.
Okay, great. And what about you, Jamie? Any dates you want to plug? Because we're going live. Lots of people on this Facebook from the Comedy Store.
Oh yes, thank you, Comedy Store. I'm gonna go off the hook. Comedy. I'm off the hook in Naples. You ever play it? Captain
Naples?
Brian, Naples.
Ooh.
I'm there this weekend, for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then next weekend I'm at. Some bowling alley comedy club in Detroit. Somewhere there next weekend. But go to my website, jamiekennedy.com. But really, go to my Instagram.
Yeah,
the Jamie Kennedy.
Okay. I'll be in Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley next Tuesday.
Oh, wonderful! That's a great gig, by the way. I always love that gig at the Throckmorton.
Yeah, I'm looking
Have
forward to
Have you ever
that.
Done that gig at the Throckmorton?
I've never played there.
It's in Mill
Valley in Northern California. It's a really wonderful theater.
I know of. I've never been there.
This is my first time doing
you
it.
You
have cool. Yeah.
Damn.
It's a great gig. Yeah, you should totally do that.
How many seats?
We'll exchange.
It's
pretty big.
Nice theater size. Yeah.
We'll exchange numbers and I'll get you to
on
do
air.
All right, great. And I would also like to say that my documentary, which won a couple of awards.
Congratulations,
by the
way.
Thank you very much. Is on Vimeo On Demand. And cross your fingers, everybody, that it'll be on Amazon in 2 days. And you can find out all that information at FeliciaMichaels.net. And you can follow me at Felicia Michaels all across the board.
Wow.
And the name of it is Pervs.
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 So check that out. You can follow me at Jess Wellington 2 on everything. Thank you guys for listening. And you've been lied to.